one first round pick this year, what it looks like for this rookie class, but more importantly, we want to look back at the draft class from last year and beyond. Who's going to actually take the leap in 2026 to help the Packers avoid what is that first wild card round weekend loss yet again? Ashley and I are going to dive into that, but we're also going to talk a little bit about the Milwaukee Brewers and what is coming up here with a 9-game stretch that looks very manageable before the upcoming month of May. You are going to really cut your teeth if you are going to stay in the mix in this division. And then we're going to unveil a new segment to end the show today, higher or lower. Stick around for that. Ashley's going to walk us through that and how that's going to look. But first, Ashley, yesterday was your birthday. Yesterday was your first time on the show. And we preach accountability here, do we not? Well, I can't hear you, so that's it's a good start.
So that's actually so funny, because I was talking to Ninja today, and he was telling me about how he forgot to turn on a mic this morning.
Well, we did it here to start. We got it out of the way early.
That is true. So that's a great way to start. My birthday was yesterday.
Well, and the reason I brought that up, accountability. And Ashley, I have to hold myself accountable here, because one thing I love to do around the station that people are very familiar with here, when people have their birthdays, I love to make my patented extra chocolatey brownies.
You do.
You don't like chocolate?
Nope, I do not.
Which is, first of all, that's absurd in its own right.
Here we go.
We'll save that. That's fine.
People always say that, and it's seriously like, my grandpa doesn't like chocolate, and then it got passed down to me.
Nobody doesn't like chocolate.
I don't like chocolate.
I refuse to believe that. But the reason I bring that up, Ashley, is that I asked you on Sunday night, knowing your birthday was going to be Monday, what you wanted me to make instead. And you said homemade Rice Krispie treats.
Yep. Easiest thing to make.
Well, and I've never made them. I've been anxiously, I'm like, you know what? Wait, I won't do it on Sunday.
The trick is you got to do extra marshmallows. Don't listen to the recipe when it says like one cup of marshmallows, like put two.
See, this actually might have actually benefited you in the long haul, because the reason I brought it up is I have yet to make them yet.
I know.
Because yesterday we had Benvenuto's Pizza come in during the day. I'm like, all right, Ashley, you're going to wait for 24 hours?
Yep.
Then today I spent half of my day in Fond du Lac. I didn't have a chance to go home.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Walter, I forgive you.
Well, good, because I was going to ask about making the leap. One of the goals for me is that I have to follow through. That's one of our core tenets here.
That is so true.
And I haven't followed through yet, so I'm going to, but that's a leap that I'm going
to
make.
That you're willing to take?
I'm going to have to. Well, first of all, before we jump into the leap candidates and who needs to take a leap.
Good transition. I just realized that.
You see what I'm trying to do here?
Uh-huh.
We're going to land the plane at some point. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you, what's a leap in your personal life, whether it be sport, whatever you want it to be? What's a leap that Ashley Dobrzynski is going to be making?
This year?
Yeah, sure. However you want.
More, better teeth.
Yeah?
It's going to be my thing, better teeth this year.
Yeah, for someone who doesn't like chocolate, you certainly are working through them. Number six coming out here before long, right?
That's like one of my biggest pet peeves is when I go to the dentist and they're like, you drink a lot of soda? And I'm like, no, I don't drink a lot of soda. I don't. And they like, a dentist way long ago accused me of drinking soda when I haven't had been. That's not the right grammar. But I was like, I'm not. And he was like, you are. And I was like, you're going to tell me that I'm wrong?
You tell me I'm wrong, Doug?
Doug, you're going to tell me. I was so mad. But I digress.
Okay.
I digress.
Well, good new teeth. It's a good leap goal.
What's
Columbus
yours?
Family Dental can help you out on that.
They have been.
Well, good.
Great place.
You're going to be the number one customer. But... talking about the Green Bay Packers, talking about the football players that are going to take the leap this next year. We initially, when we started talking about this earlier today, we were trying to figure out how we wanted to do it. If we just wanted to do second-year players, if we wanted to open it up, I kind of like the idea of just talking about players that need to take the leap in general.
Yeah.
And I want to start with you, our trusted, true producer and host in the number two chair, Ashley Dobrzynski. Who is a player on the Green Bay Packers that you expect to take a leap, but more importantly needs to if they're going to go farther next year?
You're not going to agree with me on this one, and that's okay. But I don't think Christian Watson has made the leap yet.
So Wait, so you're saying he needs, there's like more to uncover still.
Yeah, I don't think he's even like, I think he's scratched the surface, but it goes way beyond that. Yes, he shows strong performances, but I don't think we've had enough of them because of his injuries.
Hmm. Well, the injury concerns have been there since the beginning with him. Last year, coming off that ACL, he had 35 catches in limited action, 611 yards, 6 touchdowns, which when you extrapolate, you like that big word?
Yeah.
Drop and extrapolate here?
Wow.
When you extrapolate those numbers out over the course of what would be an entire year, you're talking about a guy that has the elite traits right now. He just hasn't really brought it all together. I do push back in the sense that when we saw Christian Watson really hit the field last year before that injury in Denver, you saw what was a Packers team that a lot of people around the league would have told you was not only a Super Bowl contender, was a Super Bowl favorite.
Yeah.
And a big part of that is Christian Watson. So when you say making the leap this next year, is it truly just injuries? Do you think when he is healthy that there's even more to unravel with him?
Well, the Packers never had a true wide receiver one. Think about how many wide receivers they had in the room. They got rid of them. They got rid of Romeo Dobbs, Devontae Wicks. I'm probably missing a few. Now you have the ability, Christian Watson has the ability to step up, as does Matthew Golden, and we'll probably get to him as well. But I think you have Christian Watson that there was room for him to grow, but now I think there's extra, like not extra room, but there's room for him to grow in a sense that he has the potential of becoming Jordan Love's number one guy and like his only number one guy.
Well, you mentioned, and I think that I might be jumping the gun, so I apologize in advance. Matthew Golden was somebody else that you said you think we're going to get to, and I'm not going to steal your thunder because I think that that's a player that you're going to pick as well.
Mm-hmm.
But my question for you is, when you look at a team that has a chance to be a Super Bowl threat with this Packers team, who needs to be the guy that Jordan Love can depend on when you need that play on 4th and 6 in a playoff game with 2 minutes left? Who does he need to be throwing the ball to? Is it going to be Christian Watson healthy throughout the year, or is it going to be the breakout second-year wide receiver in Matthew Golden?
When you asked this question, my like first immediate thought was when Aaron Rodgers, I almost said Ryan Braun. Same era, I guess, whatever.
Same church one pew.
Yeah. I always remember Aaron Rodgers, like when he needed someone, you think of the Jordy Nelsons, you think of the Davante Adams. When I think of Jordan Love's guy, I think that it's going to be Christian Watson. Not because Matthew Golden can't get there, but I think with the lack of catches that he had last year, and you didn't really see a lot of Matthew Golden. I mean, he didn't get his first touchdown until the playoff game against the Bears, right?
Yeah, and it felt like for basically the middle part of the season, if you didn't know Matthew Golden was on the Packers and you were kind of a casual fan, there's a good chance you didn't even know he was on the sideline.
Exactly. And I think that Matthew Golden has the potential as well, but I don't think he's going to get there next year because I do truly believe that Jordan Love is going to look at Christian Watson and that is going to be his number one guy. And I think that it's going to become the Christian Watson-Jordan Love connection, and then it's going to be Matthew Golden kind of shadowing that connection until he really gets his footing and starts to really be able to come into his own. I mean, you can't – going from college to NFL, I mean, it's a big step. I mean, I don't know if it was us or – I think it was us yesterday with Gabe talking about the Florida kicker. You're going from playing in the swamp – to the Tundra Trio, or the Tundra. Sorry, the Tundra.
Well, it's two different climates. You had some Tundra Trio experience, yeah. So I can understand that right there.
Tundra just sounds weird now. It has to be Tundra Trio. Anyways.
That's where you have to go back with like the old school NFL films, the Frozen Tundra.
There you go. We're going from the swamp to the Frozen Tundra. Not the point of my argument, but I don't think Matthew Golden, I think he's going to improve, but I don't think he's going to. I actually don't think he's going to have a standout year.
Whoa, wow, really?
I don't. I think he's going to have a good year, not a great year.
Okay. Well, so I'm going to walk in between kind of the two guardrails that you gave me because I think that Christian Watson, being Jordan Love's number one wide receiver next year, can be a really, really good thing.
I think 100%.
It can really help, actually, the development of Matthew Golden, too, being a number two receiver that, in a high-volume number two wide receiver, where these two guys, they're going to have the targets a lot throughout the year. You're going to eat a ton of that target share with the only guys like Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, a few throws out of the backfield, going to really dive into that. Matthew Golden, I think, has a breakout year in the sense that you are going to get him over 1,000 yards. I think that he is going to start getting more into that half-dozen touchdowns when you look back at the end of the year. But Christian Watson, if he stays healthy, he's on the fringe. I think he's a guy that can genuinely turn an offense into what, not like the greatest show on turf, but a team that's going to score 30 points a game in the high 20s and be able to compete with anybody. And when you have a defense like the Packers have this year, I think that having two number ones, which is a totally different conversation than about 18 months ago when we thought this was a collection of twos, having two guys that could genuinely be the ones could really unlock a group, especially when you look at the offensive line that's going to struggle, I think, at points. And I do want to get to a few of those guys as well, but I'll give you final word on the receivers.
Well, I was just going to say that I don't know if Matthew Golden would be my next option for a second number one.
No, who are you going to talk about?
I would go with Jaden Reed.
You would go with Jaden Reed first?
Yes. I just don't think Matthew Golden has the ability right now to be a great NFL wide receiver one. He has no proven NFL production yet.
He doesn't. So
we don't know. This is like grading the draft all over again. We don't know what Matthew Golden can do.
But that's the thing.
The potential's there. I will give you that 100%. The potential is there. He looks good when he's playing, but prove it.
Postseason game was that glimpse.
Yeah, but not anybody. A blind squirrel can find a nut every once in a while.
We're calling Matthew Golden a blind squirrel?
No, I'm not calling him a blind squirrel, but I'm saying that it needs to be consistent and can't just be one game. He did one game.
That's fair.
We don't know what he's going to be. In my personal opinion, I've seen Jaden Reed do a lot. And Christian Watson. I like Matthew Golden. I don't want it to be like, oh my gosh, she hates Matthew Golden. She's not a Matthew Golden fan. No, I am. I am a Matthew Golden fan. I just think that the expectations for him are up here, and they need to be lowered.
Oh.
Yep.
You can't
be disappointed if the expectations are on the ground.
We have a consistent history on this program here on the Dam Sports Show 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam that we like to do bets, and typically I end up on the negative side of one.
You do.
As we get closer to season, I want us to brainstorm because there's a bet here of who has a better season, and we just have to figure out how we're going to actually measure that. Because I think that we might be able to have a mayor's bet of sorts on our hand.
That's you're going to lose.
I don't lose bets except for all the other ones.
Yeah, great case, Wally.
I'm making the leap this year. This is Wally's year two leap.
This is your leap. All right.
It'll be my year three leap. Call me Lucas Van Ness. I think that's a good way to transition, too.
Oh, come. You're going to say Lucas Van Ness is going to make... Okay, continue. Sorry, go.
Rashawn Gary has never had 10 sacks in a season.
Okay.
Lucas Van Ness now being able to... By the way, surrounding the Micah Parsons and now Lucas Van Ness with other guys that you believe will be able to rotate, whether that be in the interior defensive line or rotate even a little bit on the edge, I think that you're going to see a guy like Lucas Van Ness, if stays healthy, you're going to see those bursts, those moments. Last year, for instance, I know Pro Football Focus, it's one of those things that you almost have to take with a grain of salt every time. He graded very highly in what he did last year. It's just a matter of, the numbers didn't necessarily reflect what he could do. He was a guy that was ranked 25th last year out of all the edge rushers in football. No big deal. Micah Parsons was number three, only behind Myles Garrett and Will Anderson Jr. I think that Lucas Van Ness, if he can continue to show what we saw last year, the continued growth, that he can be a guy that can get you the 10 sacks. I'm not...
No.
This isn't me telling you he's going to go out there and be an all-pro. That's not this...
He's not even going to be a pro. I don't know. He's not going to get in. Like, I truly.
What's his number? What's his number? Sacks next year. What would you say?
1.5
What do you mean?
Yeah,
1.5
I'm not even. I'm not even like being annoying. This is the best way I can put it. You know when you see Keyshawn Nixon guarding somebody really good, and you're like, oh crap.
Yeah, well, I actually think he's a great cornerback now that Charlie can't defend himself.
Oh, Keyshawn Nixon, that's a whole nother one we can talk about. But
yeah.
It's like when I see Lucas Van Ness heading towards the quarterback, I'm like, crap.
What do you, this is,
he's
not being it is like, egregious.
Well, it is like when Joey Ortiz is up to bat with bases loaded. You know nothing's going to happen. When Lucas Van Ness rushes the quarterback, he's not. It was a waste of draft pick, in my opinion. What are we doing?
Joey Ortiz taking strays Packer segment is brutal for him.
Well, I feel like that's the perfect way to describe it. Like, just such. Like, you have no expectations.
No belief in Hercules turning it around, huh?
No, none at all. And I will, like, personally, we can remember this day, April 28th. If he gets more than 1.5 sacks next year, we can revisit this topic. And I'll be like, wow, hand up, I'm wrong. But I don't see that happening.
I can't wait till he has 2 in the opener.
He's not going to. That's the thing. Like, he...
Don't turn me into a Hercules fan. I didn't expect to...
No.
To have to... I'm going to end up with a Lucas Van Ness jersey now because of you.
When... What year is he on?
It's going to be in his fourth year. He's a fourth-year leap.
Fourth year?
The patented fourth-year leap.
This is what's annoying, is that people are like... No offense. Probably you too. You're like, he's still early in his development. What the hell do you mean he's still early in his development? It's year four.
Again, don't...
Imagine being a senior in college, and they look at you, and they go, well, he's still learning.
Hey, Tommy Boy grew a lot in his 7 years in school.
That's... What exactly?
Year four. He saved that company.
It is year four. What he should be doing, what he should be projecting and doing, the expectations should be so much higher for him. It's year four. Let's... He doesn't have the Matthew Golden one where it's like, okay, rookie season, I get it. You know, whatever. This is year four. Like, it's actually outrageous that he's still on the team.
First of all, expect this to be such a hot button topic with you.
Neither did I. I didn't realize my, like, hatred. Not hatred, but, like.
Beyond annoyance of the low production to this point.
Well, it's outrageous.
I will say this, he did have 1.5 sacks last year, which is lower than his 2024 total, which was 3 sacks, which was lower than his rookie total of 4 sacks.
Wow, so he hasn't even, it was 4-3-2-1?
4-3-1.5, a little respect here.
Oh, sorry. So he hasn't even gotten 10 sacks in his NFL career yet.
You're
saying he's going to have 10 sacks this year. Yeah.
Okay, without Rashawn Gary, he's going to have a higher snap count.
Jury adjourned. I can't say the word.
You can't say it, therefore I get the final point.
Okay, fine.
He's going to have a hefty increase with his snap count this year. You are not only going to have Micah Parsons on the other side, you are going to have 2 rookies that are also going to split time, both again on the interior defensive
Basically
line.
Basically 3, he's year 4 and still early in his development.
You're saying that. I didn't say that. He was on pace for 3 again. That's not helping me.
Oh, great. 3 sacks. How many did it's a bad comparison for Myles Garrett, but wow, 3 sacks. Let's put him in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, you're putting words in my mouth. I'll let you have one last one before we go to break.
Oh,
final
oh, wow.
leap
I got really
candidate.
I got really heated about Lucas Van Ness. I am not.
You kind of made me feel bad about myself there at the end. I stand,
I'm
Drew.
I'm sorry. Well, do you have another one? I feel like there's some O-line that you want to talk about.
I do. There's a couple guys I want to talk about. One specifically in Jordan Morgan. Because last year we got to see him bounce all over the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And at this point of his career, he hasn't had a home. He hasn't known exactly where he's going to be lined up, who he's going to be matched up across mm-hmm. from. Every single week. This year, they're going to put an awful, awful lot of faith into him. When you listen to the offensive line as it projects right now, you're going to have Jordan Morgan on the left side at tackle. You're going to have Aaron Banks in his second year, hopefully a better one, at left guard. Sean Ryan, who he has flashes too at center where you think they can be solid. Mm-hmm. But then he, go back to Pro Football Focus, he's one of the worst player grades for a center across the entire NFL. Go to right guard, you're going to have second year Anthony Belton, who's going to be permanently at guard now. And then the one guy that you know when you look at this line, you're going to have faith that they're going to do their job, play in and play out, at Zach Tom. If you're able to put Jordan Morgan in a home on the left side, and if he's able to get comfortable there early in the season, I think that this can be a really undercover, okay offensive line where I think going into the draft, it was a big hole. We were really worried about how this team was going to address it. They only brought in Jaeger, should be Jaeger, Jaeger Burton. It should be Jaeger. Jaeger Baum at center would have been so cool.
Yeah. But
he's the only guy they brought in. Everybody else is coming back from that unit I just said. You're losing pieces. They're depending. And that tells me that they're betting that Jordan Morgan's not only going to be up for the task, that they believe he's going to excel at left tackle. So for that reason, I think he's going to be a huge making the leap candidate on the left side of the line.
Yeah, I agree with that one. As I think, I feel like when he...
Thank God you do.
I feel like if he gets a home and is able to establish himself, I think there's a very good chance that Morgan ends up panning out. I'm not as mad about Jordan Morgan than Lucas Van Ness, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. It gives me more incentive to go out there and look for that cheapy knockoff Lucas Van Ness jersey because I think I might have to surprise him and wear that onto a show at some point.
That'd be so messed up. You got 1.5 picks, right, I guess?
We're going to switch gears.
One more than Lucas Van Ness then had.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Milwaukee Brewers before what is a unique month of May coming up for the team in a very, very tight and competitive NL Central. That's next on the Dam Sports Show on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV.
Lately, I couldn't help but notice my house was feeling a little drafty, so I quizzically stared into my window.
I'm starting with the man in the window.
Wait, that's not how it goes. But in my reflection, I did find the problem. Old, inefficient windows. So I called the solution, Hometown Glass and Improvement. They install top-quality, energy-efficient windows from trusted brands like Pella and Lindsay with professional guidance and installation. Visit in person, online, or call 887-3757 for your free estimate today.
On top of the world or bouncing back, there's no better time than right now to take care of yourself. Marshfield Clinic Primary Care helps you stay on track with recommended screenings and annual visits, or simply connect on your overall well-being. And if you find yourself in need of care quickly, we often offer same-day appointment options. Marshfield Clinic. Enjoy life with confidence. Explore appointment options today at marshfieldclinic.org/primarycare.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we know you do things your way. So why shop the same retail giants as everyone else when you can easily find the products you need and trust at unbeatable Farm and Fleet prices? Save $10 on Gordon's 2.5-gallon liquid weed and feed or TriMet concentrate. 15% off assorted Rust-Oleum Stops Rust paint. And Baylin utility gates, buy one, get one half price. Find value on the things you value. Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Be an original.
Hey, it's Stacy with Slumberland, Beaver Dam in Watertown. Our Memorial Day sale is going on now, and it's our biggest one of all summer. Make sure that you stop in and get some amazing deals on all of your sleep needs. No one sells Sealy for less than us. Our Sealy Wintergreen mattress in the queen size is only $399, or the Safa Park Firm queen size mattress is on sale for $499. Now, if you need some adjustment in your life to make sure that you're more comfortable and pain-free, check out this amazing $999 Sealy Posturepedic mattress with free adjustable base. You heard it right, free adjustable base. No one sells Sealy for less than us. Take advantage of purple discounts and save up to $1,500 on mattresses and power base. Save 40% off of select Nectar mattresses and get in-store bonus spending cash on Tempur-Pedic, Sealy Posturepedic, and Stearns & Foster's qualifying mattresses with 72 months interest-free financing. Stop in and save big during our Memorial Sale going on right now at Slumberland Furniture, Beaver Dam, and Watertown.
Celebrate 104 years with Silica for your home this April. Hi, I'm Josh Schneider, fourth generation at Silica, and I just want to say thank you. And to celebrate, we're offering exclusive rebates, thousands of dollars in savings all month long, plus in-store giveaways announced every Friday in April. Stop in and experience what's made Silica stand out since 1922. Silica for your home, quality, service, and trust for over a century. And since 1922, it's always been Silica for your home.
Sometimes they have no idea what they're saying out loud. Isn't that what local sports talk is all about? Hear more shenanigans now on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and the Dam Sports Show, presented by Real Sports Cards in Waupun.
If you are looking for a one-stop shop for all things sports cards, head on over to Real Sports Cards in Waupun or check out their app. Whether you're into sports cards or Pokemon, Real Sports Cards has you covered. With live break streaming right there on the app, you can grab individual cards on the go, be a part of a group, and watch for your favorite players and teams as the packs get open. Go to the Apple or Google Play Store today, look for the orange logo, and take your collection to the next level with Real Sports Cards, your local resource for all things sports cards, Pokemon cards, and more. I have been getting eviscerated in the break, so I will at least start with that before we switch to Brewers. Ashley, you are not
who
the only one.
Who eviscerated you?
Well, oh, yeah. We have Charlie in the chat over here, yeah. Who the long time fill-in as we were trying to wait for Ashley Dobrzynski.
I'm surprised he's still here, I'm not going to lie.
Well, he might not be. He might have been checking out of work right then at the time. Yeah. That might have been it for him.
That's true.
But not only do we have him, we have the great Tom Olson himself, who I'm sure many of you in Beaver Dam are familiar with and remember very well. He's listening right now, too, and he called me out and saying everybody knows about the patented four-year leap.
Tom gets it. He knows ball.
I'm married to it. I said it. You know what? I was in the break. I'm talking to you. I'm like, maybe I should have said 7.5. Maybe I was a little overzealous. No.
He hasn't even had 10 sacks in his NFL career. It's not the point. We need to move on. I do want to tell you a quick little
anecdote. God, you're already got the, we got to move on. You got this down already.
Yeah. I want to tell a quick little ad lib right now. There's this random wire coming down from the ceiling. I think because we're getting our new phones installed, but I keep like hitting it. And I think anyways, it's not that important, but if we hear random sounds during the show, it's because I accidentally bumped the mouse that bumped the wire bumped the mouse.
Well, it's better you bouncing against the phone than Pat Murphy bouncing it earlier in a game trying to get to the relief pitching.
Wow.
Nailed it. We look at this Milwaukee Brewers team, Ashley, and they ended a losing streak the other day on Sunday against the JV lineup of the Pittsburgh Pirates on Sunday to go to 14-13. That's a fact. It's not... there's no bias there. That is a fact. They played their Altoona curve lineup on Sunday, which, you know what? Credit to the Brewers. They had to get it done. They went out there. They got a win. What I'm interested in, and I wanted to put it on your radar, this upcoming stretch for the Brewers is very unique in the sense that in the next 9 games, they have very winnable series against the Arizona Diamondbacks, against the Washington Nationals, and the St. Louis Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And right after that, they have 12 of their next 15 games against teams like the New York Yankees, against the 10 games above 500 San Diego Padres, against the Chicago Cubs, who they're going to be competing with in the NL Central, and then that team that knocked them out of the NLCS last year in the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Ugh.
And the reason I bring that up is that the Brewers at this point, while being over 500, they are 14-13. When you're about a month through the season, that is okay. You tread water. The old cliche is true. You can't win a World Series in April, but you sure as hell can lose one. They've not put themselves in a position that they're out of anything by any stretch, but they're in fifth place above 500 in 3.5 games trailing the Cincinnati Reds at this point. This next 10-game stretch with the banged-up team, Ashley, is massive, and they have to come out of this with 6 or 7.
Oh, geez.
Wins in this stretch before they go into that gauntlet in the next 15 days, because you could be looking at the end of May, a Brewers team, before they're really healthy and playing together for the first time this year, they could be close to 8-ish games below the leader in the Central if they're not careful.
Yeah, I'm not worried, to be honest. I think that talking about all of this, I don't think they're in the danger zone or people are – I know people are worried and whatnot. I do want to say one thing real quick before I get into my other – like my points. I thought the St. Louis Cardinals, it's kind of embarrassing that we're behind them. I thought they were, like,
going to
suck.
They're going to suck. This is – when you play 162 games a year, you have that team that comes out hot. The Minnesota Twins are a great example. Yeah. They'll be in that mix of the 15 that I didn't mention because they are in – awful product in Minnesota. Yeah. I know we don't have a lot of nice things to say about the area of Minneapolis and the sports teams there.
Yeah.
But that fan base deserves a lot better than what they're going through right now.
Well, at least we're not the Mets, too.
No, well, that, you know, there's different kind of
pain. Didn't they get swept by the Rockies?
But that's the thing. That's, you have the Twins, for instance, that I just mentioned. They're bad for another reason, where they've gutted their entire roster. They're paying basically radio dollars for these baseball players at this point. And then you look on the other side with this team, the New York Mets, they've got like a $350 million payroll.
And they suck.
And they're awful. And the Phillies just fired their manager today.
Boston Red Sox cleaned house.
See ya.
Maybe baseball isn't as in danger as we think.
See, you know what? I would have loved to agree with you. Except you end up looking out west and you see that team that keeps freaking winning.
There is nothing. You thought I was heated about Lucas Van Ness. I could probably go for hours on how much I hate the Dodgers.
I remember watching last year.
Oh my God.
We had the crew together here from the station and some from ESPN Madison watching these games at Stooges downtown Beaver Dam. And it's the third inning and it's, oh good. Well, maybe we get him game two. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Maybe game three. Well, let's just try to win a game. It felt so disconnected that's where, in the sicko mode that we can be, I almost want the Dodgers to go and do it again this year because I think a lockout could save baseball. But that's another conversation another day.
Yeah, yeah.
Danger zone.
I don't think the Brewers are in the danger zone. I think that it's somewhat concerning about what has been going on. However, like you said, with the Pirates having their B team lineup in, or whatever you want to call it, their JV squad on Sunday. I think this is the JV squad for the Brewers. They don't have Yelich. They don't have Cheerio, Vaughn. They don't have their big guys. And I think that they're also not utilizing what they have. I'm sorry, Joey Ortiz, you're a great shortstop. When I don't remember the stat exactly, but his on base when it comes, or when he's up to bat and there's bases loaded or anyone on base, it is such a low number. And then our third baseman really can't hit either. So we're having 7 out of the 9 spots in the lineup basically say, we know you're not getting a hit.
I wanted to pull this up now because
the stat is it was something like Joey Ortiz is on base or up to bat with bases loaded like an astronomical amount of times.
Well, he's 0 for 4 this year with the bases loaded, and I know he has at least a double play in there that ended an inning in a game that they desperately needed one run to come across.
Yeah.
So don't necessarily push back at all on that. The only thing, we talked with Charlie, we talked with Gabe about how this is a team that we would love to look into the minors right now and see some of these big names in this farm system come up and help this team that does feel like they have a chance to win a division yet again, at the very least make a postseason push. And guys like Cooper Pratt, though, they're still in AA. And at this point, it seems like the organization is gung-ho on the idea of getting them in a substantial amount of at-bats to really learn the game of baseball before they get to the major league level and see how they're going to be able to adjust to that. It's the guys like Blake Perkins for me that are going to be returning in May that you need these guys to get back. It's just
Brandon
a matter
Lockridge.
Of... Yes, Lockridge is another one. Vaughn, Yelich, Cheerio. And that's not even talking about the pitching that isn't available right now. The fact that they're over 500, I think, is a testament to not only manager Pat Murphy, but to the group that's out there finding a way, but this has been a wildly inconsistent group to this point of the season. They've already gone on a 4-game losing streak. They've had a 6-game losing streak in there as well at one point. It was 6 games. I had to double check. Good job, math. Wally math brain. But that's 2 different times. That's 10 games in the span of about, 2.5 weeks where they go on these stretches. If they happen again, you have another one of these 5 or 6-game losing streaks over the next few weeks. It goes back to the danger zone question. And I personally think that you have to stay within about 6.5 games, right in that range when you get these guys back, because the Cubs are playing good baseball. The Pirates are playing good baseball. Hell, the Reds at this point, even though I have been very notoriously on the show doubting them time and time again, they keep showing up. So they've got to, the Brewers have to survive this next 3 weeks, and I don't know how that's going
to
happen.
I think they have to survive. However, every team falters. You look at the Packers. Oh, my gosh. I don't think that the Pirates are not going to be always playing good baseball. Neither are the Cubs. Neither are the Reds. I think that it's so early and that the fluctuation that's going to happen from now until September is so huge that I think if the Brewers were, I almost said Packers again. I think if the Brewers were to fall back a substantial amount, well, let's not say, okay, not substantial.
Where's the number? Like, what's the number that you're like, this is getting a little hairy?
I would say about probably 9 or 10. I still think they have some wiggle room in the fact that when you start getting back these, you know, key players to your operation with Yelich, Yelich and Vaughn and Churio especially, I think you'll start seeing like rise on that. And I think a lot, I remember thinking about this last year and talking about it last year. Baseball is all about the games of like kind of like a climb or a mountain. You know, you go up, you hit that peak, and then you go down. And I think that a lot of these teams will hit that peak. Obviously, some keep going up and trending up and whatnot, but actually a mountain's probably not a great metaphor for
like
what I'm trying to say.
Like a big hill.
Yeah, like...
like on Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you can... yeah, there we go. You go up and down. And I just don't think that... I think that the Brewers right now are down, but I think that this team has enough talent that they're going to skyrocket up. And I think that... the Pirates, the Cubs, the Reds, they're all going to go down that hill at one point. And I think then when they go down, the Brewers are going to go up.
It's that ride the highs, fight through the lows as much as you can. And this team's been fighting through the lows, what seems like for a month now with all these injuries. If they're able to really polish off some wins and go on a little bit of a run in this next 10 games, I'm going to put the panic button back away. Right now, I don't have... necessarily the panic button.
Yeah.
Out. What I have it on my desk, you know? And I still have the glass on it. But I see it.
Yep.
And I'm thinking about the glass. I haven't lifted it up yet. Maybe I put it back away with a good 10-game stretch here.
Yeah. Right. Hopefully.
Well, talking about a baseball team that has been playing really high-level baseball, the Beaver Dam baseball team has a rivalry matchup with the Watertown Goslings that's coming up on Daily Dodge TV in just about 5 minutes. We'll talk about that game briefly, and then we're going to hear from Wade Bates as he's going to fill us on everything we need to know about the Beaver Dam girls soccer team and Beaver Dam softball. That's next on the Dam Sports Show.
This is Haley Daniels, head cross country coach at Beaver Dam High School, and you are listening to 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
This Daily Dodge News update is brought to you by Prairie Ridge Health. They offer routine checkups and specialty services and inpatient care at the hospital just off Highway 151 in Columbus. Learn more at prairieridge.health.
From the Daily Dodge News Center, I'm Terry Bell. Watertown High School was evacuated yesterday afternoon after a bomb threat. All district buildings were placed on lockdown as a precaution. Yesterday was a blustery day in the Milwaukee area. Strong winds knocked out power to about 51,000 homes and businesses. A teacher in Kolkata is on leave for making light of the latest assassination attempt against President Trump on social media. Patrick Meyer is on leave now that an investigation is underway. Dodge County parks like Astico, Ledge, and Harnischfeger are ready for campers. County campsites require reservations. You can do that online or over the phone. New self-serve repair stations are now open at Votech Park, Swan City Park, and Waterworks Park in Beaver Dam. Each station is equipped with tools and an air pump. From the Daily Dodge News Center, I'm Terry Bell.
That was the Daily Dodge News Update brought to you by Prairie Ridge Health. They make it easy to get the care you need close to home. Learn more about their services and locations at prairieridge.health.
WBEV is turning up the heat with the Broad Fry Summer Sweepstakes presented by Newman Pools and Hometown Glass and Improvement. Stop by participating Broad Fries and grab your stamp card. Earn a stamp at each event.
No purchase necessary.
Fill all five and you're entered to win. Become one of three guaranteed winners for chances at a $4,000 grand prize, plus $750 and $250 winnings as well. The drawing is September 3rd at the Hometown Glass and Improvement Broad Fry. Brats, summer, and big cash. Don't miss out.
Sports, spice, and occasionally nice. You're tuned into The Damn Sports Show, presented by Real Sports Cards in Waupun, Dodge County's local sports show on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
Welcome back to the Damn Sports Show here on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV. We have a busy slate of high school sports tonight right here on Daily Dodge TV. Right after you're done listening to Damn Sports Show, make sure you switch on over there. But Ashley, I believe you have the calendar up in front of you now. Can you tell us what's coming up later tonight?
4:45, we got Milton at Beaver Dam Girls Soccer. That's on Daily Dodge TV, like Wally said. We got Wade and Aiden out there. And then also at 4:45, Watertown is traveling to BD for some baseball, also on Daily Dodge TV, and Mike and Ninja are out there.
Well, and that's a big matchup, too. This is a team that, naturally, if you are familiar with the area, you know Watertown and Beaver Dam, they love to compete against one another, and this is a rivalry that we've seen go the Watertown Gosling's way the last couple of years, where Beaver Dam, you would imagine, would have been the clubhouse favorite, or at least the team that a lot of people in the area would have expected to come through with the win. This is going to be a very tight contest tonight, and Beaver Dam's playing good baseball. They split a doubleheader over the weekend against Monona Grove, but they're a team that only has the one conference loss to this point. I'm excited to see who's on the mound tonight. I'm going to try right after this one to get over there and watch that. Make sure you join us on Daily Dodge TV for that broadcast. But now I want to throw it over to Wade Bates. Him and I is terrible grammar too. Nicely done. My English teachers are really upset with me from The Ohio State University. We're going to hear what Wade has to say about that Beaver Dam girls soccer team and, of course, what Beaver Dam softball has going on. The 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam Damn Sports Show rolls on. How was that Wade impression, Wade?
Is that supposed to be Wade Bates?
That's the closest I have, because I feel like you have like a signature going in on the morning show when you have me on, where it's like the 95.3 WBEV morning show rolls on. Wally Lukashinsky joins me now, and I couldn't really land the plane because it doesn't sound as organic with the Damn Sports Show, but I tried my best to welcome you on.
Maybe I'm just repetitive and I need to be more creative.
No, because I keep waiting for you to do it again when I come on the morning show, and you have different ones. But you have like a good rotation. I got to get one. I just come back and I'm like, welcome back to the Damn Sports Show.
Maybe that's it, Wally.
I don't know if that is it or not. That's kind of cliche and boring, ain't it?
Yeah. It's Wally. You, Wally Lukashinsky, and boring never have appeared in the same sentence in the history of the world.
You know, it's amazing you say that. We are going to talk some high school sports, Wade. But you say that now. I feel like people like get enamored because I'm a crazy big personality. When you get to know me, I am very boring. Like, I sit there and watch sports. That's about it. I feel like boring does very much pertain to me, but I appreciate it anyway.
No, that's all right. It's not boring tonight because you have Beaver Dam baseball on Daily Dodge TV. Beaver Dam and Watertown, I should say, on Daily Dodge TV. I'm going to be in a few minutes heading over to Milton. In Beaver Dam. Beaver Dam girls soccer plays Milton. That's also on Daily Dodge TV.
Well, let's start there. You're going to be a man on the scene, and I need you because I love soccer. I love to watch, especially around the World Cup, but I don't know enough about it, frankly. And this year, I've only been able to tune on and watch the Beaver Dam girls soccer when it's on Daily Dodge TV and with you. What do people have to know about the group that they have right now? Set me up in a way where I can sound like not an idiot when I'm talking about it.
Team that's coming around, they're 3-2-1, Beaver Dam is this season. They had tough loss against Oregon, who might be the favorite to win the state championship this year, took it to the Beavers in the first game. Then they've come back. So if they're 3-2-1, that means they're 3-1-1 since that opening game. A couple of wins where they put up some big goals against North Fondy Oakfield. They scored seven this past weekend against St. Augustine Prep. They ground out a win last week Monday against Baraboo. That was the first conference win since 2023. For the Golden Beaver soccer team.
Well, so what's been the difference? How have they gotten to this point where they are winning conference games
again?
Well,
they have a lot of hard work from the girls out there, and they have a good collection of upperclassmen. Shea Marie Ashley could have played college soccer, one of the more dynamic players athletically probably in the conference. And then, you have her up front, Brenna Rhodes, who was an all-conference player last year, honorable mention in the Badger Conference, also up front. And Chloe Louth is playing at Ripon College. She's a midfielder, doing great things there. And then you have a good mix of pretty good sophomore class that has played together since they've been in third grade. And, last year, a lot of them got experience at the varsity level and just starting to work together. The back line's been pretty good. And it's just been a good mix of kids working hard and finding ways to get it done. They've had lots of scoring opportunities this year, too. I know if you could talk to Coach Paredes, she'd probably say that they've had some games where they've won 7-0, could have won 10-0.
Wow.
Just missed some shots. The fact that they're putting themselves in position to score, and defensively, they've been pretty solid over the last couple of weeks, considering their first five weeks, they played two games. Last week, they played, I think, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, or Thursday, Saturday. So a lot of soccer being played this week. It's Monday, Thursday, Saturday as well.
You're a machine. Going right off the dome here and able to give us all the days and all that too on top of it?
No.
Wait, you're locked in.
No, so they again, it's been a fun team to watch, and it's probably the most, obviously they've struggled to win games in the Badger Conference, which is loaded with great teams.
Well, winning breeds winning.
Yes.
And you're starting to see it here with a young group that is experiencing the win in now conference play for the first time for a lot of them in their careers. So, Wade, I want to keep talking about the winning ways, but shifting gears
sure.
to another women's sports team here, and that's a softball team. And as of right now, they are 5-1 in conference play. Got another win last night against Fond du Lac. That's non-con. But this week, a couple big tests for them, as they're going to be later today having a game against Line DeForest. It took me a second. I almost said Baraboo, but it was like that's who they put last week. They have DeForest today before they have a big matchup later this week against Wanakee. What are you looking for from this team right now?
Yeah, I just think, Quinn Heinz's team coming in, he knew he was going to score a lot of runs this year. And then it all came down to in the circle, pitching. Because you have Emma, we always talk about Emma Jelka, in the circle. Also, you balance that with playing shortstop. Leah Linsenmeyer has been solid in there. You've had a bunch of other, a few people get the opportunities to throw this year. And they have done enough in the circle to get wins. It was a big win over Fond du Lac, the Fox Valley Association last week. And they've been playing pretty good defense as well. When they get the bats going, they went to Watertown and got that, was it 6-0 victory, I think was the
6-0.
Final. Last week is never an easy place to play. So, Quinn's got his team playing well in all facets. The younger players coming in have done their part. The veterans have held up, and they, Maddie Bryant Monday, I think, had 4 RBI. Mm-hmm. Sally Lumens had a couple of big hits. Emma Jelka, Kendall Fakes, everybody that you'd expect to be in there offensively has been doing their job, and his team is, continuing to plug along. And I think, come what, like 3 weeks from now, they're going to be right there when you talk about conference championship contenders.
Well, and this is a crazy conference when you look at the Badger Large right now, too. It can cannibalize itself at points because these teams are so evenly matched. Because Beaver Dam, for instance, they lost a game that they'd love to have back against Monona Grove. They lose 9-1. Haven't lost to anybody else. They beat a Milton team that's frankly beaten pretty much everybody else in conference. Wanakee's only loss to that side as well. This is going to be probably 3 or 4 horse race when you look at the end of the season. And it feels like that in the circle, that's going to be the biggest thing with a team like them that can't score an awful lot of runs.
It is. Look forward to watching them play down the stretch as well. Next Monday they have a huge match. Kakana's coming to town, who's like the poster child of success for softball in the state of Wisconsin. They're coming to town. That game, we have two games at night. It's weird. And so we only have one broadcast crew available that night, though. So we're doing baseball with Hartford, a rematch of the sectional final, because the huddle cam will be able to have that Kakana game. So both sides of the diamond will get coverage on video.
Well, do what I like to do, too. Show up if you want to watch the softball game in person. Throw on Daily Dodge TV on the phone. Get yourself a little personal doubleheader there, Wade.
Yes.
Well, hey, Wade, we ran out of time to talk baseball today. We'll do that a little bit later this week. But appreciate you giving me the time. You're going to be a little bit more involved in the Damn Sports Show in this new iteration.
Yeah, you know, I'll jump on, talk some prep sports with you, Wally, and it'll be some fun times. I got to get going. I got to get over to the Prairie View to do Beaver Dam soccer.
You better believe it. Well, you can watch it on Daily Dodge TV. Thanks again, Wade. We'll be right back wrapping up the show here on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV.
Here's a look at your weatherology forecast. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 43. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, slight chance of thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 55, slight chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 35, partly cloudy skies. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Right now, 63.
Keep up to date with all the latest going on in high school athletics across the region by heading to the Sports tab at DailyDodge.com. Local scores, interviews, and more.
Hey, hey, it's Stacy with Slumberland, Beaver Dam in Watertown. Our Memorial Day sale is going strong, and you can save up to 60% off of list prices. We have some amazing values in store. Check out this sectional for as little as $992, and you get the free matching ottoman. Now, it's in-store only, so you got to stop in to get the amazing deals. We have sofas for as little as $299 and reclining, big, awesome, beautiful sofas in multiple color options for as little as $599. Or check out this Gavin Dual Power Reclining Sofa for as little as $899. If you need a little extra sleeping space, this Luca Twin Sleeper Chaise is perfect for you for as little as $449. Check out all of our amazing Memorial Day sales and specials going on right now at Slumberland Furniture, Beaver Dam, and Watertown.
Don't miss out. Get the furniture you need and bring home the comfort you've been dreaming of today at Slumberland of Beaver Dam and Watertown.
Evan Cohen here. PayPal is now the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL, which means all the money moments that fandom creates, whether splitting tailgate costs or chipping in on tickets and game day food between friends, are covered. Wherever the game is played or watched, PayPal moves with fans. You can send money through text, email, or directly to your friends with eligible accounts on Venmo. Just download the PayPal app, share all the moments that matter. Account with PayPal is required, not available in all regions where PayPal operates.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/play. That's ethos.com/play. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Big brats and big bucks.
You're going to want to hit all the stops for the 2026 Brat Fry and Summer Sweepstakes season, presented by Hometown Glass and Improvement and Newman Pools. No food or drink purchase necessary to participate in the contest. Buy a delicious Pernitz Premium Brat with a soda or water, and proceeds will help with the John Moser Children's Radiothon, all for just $2. Find the complete Brat Fry schedule on the Brat Fry page at DailyDodge.com.
Our first Brat Fry is Friday, May 8th, 11 to 1 at Ballweg Implement. You can find them at 1749 North Spring Street in Beaver Dam.
We asked parents to share their journey of adopting teens.
They changed who I am because I can't see life without them in it.
Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. Brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
From Durleaf Field to Lambeau Field, stay tuned to the Dam Sports Show. Brought to you by Real Sports Cards in Waupun. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
Well, I screwed the pooch. We are running a little low on time, so we're going to only have a few moments here as we unveil higher or lower. Ashley, what are we going to be doing today?
Basically, I'm going to give you a scenario. It's all going to be number-based, and you two scenarios, and you just have to guess higher or lower.
I'm ready for it. Let's start with this off and see how we do.
Is the Brewers team batting average higher or lower than the percent of Americans who drink coffee daily?
I'm going to say that the batting average is lower. I bet 4 out of 10 Americans are drinking coffee daily and they're below it.
But not 40. It is 63% of Americans drink coffee daily. And the Brewers' batting average is 0.248.
Okay, yeah, a little off there.
Was Giannis's points per game this season higher or lower than the average cost of a large pizza in the U.S.?
All right, so I'm going to say he averaged somewhere around, I'm going to say 25 and change. I don't think a pizza is going to be more than, I'm going to say the average large pizza is like 23 bananas.
So wait, so you say higher or lower?
I'm going to say that the pizza price is lower than Giannis's field goal or total points per game. Jeez, well, he got it.
The pizza is lower?
The pizza price is lower than the average points per game for Giannis.
A pizza price is lower than the average. No, sorry. The average cost of the large pizza in the U.S. is $32. Giannis's points per game is 34. 30.4. Oh my gosh, this is going so bad.
I'm going to be honest. I'm astonished that the average pizza is over $30. Right? What are they spending out in California?
Mm-hmm. All right. Are the Bucks points per game higher or lower than the number of plays in an average NFL game?
It's under barely. I'm going to say that there's probably an average of 120 plays. They probably average 115 points.
Wow, the Bucks do average 115 points. The number of plays in the NFL, though, is 130.
Okay, well, that was pretty good. Uh-huh. That was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Where's my ding?
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
There you go.
One last one for the road.
Okay. Is Camp Randall's capacity higher or lower than the attendance at an average NASCAR race?
Oh, that's tough. NASCAR races hold more people, but I don't know if their average is high enough. I'm going to say Camp Randall capacity is right around 90,000. I'm going to say the average race attendance is closer to 80,000.
So Camp Randall's higher?
Yes.
Correct.
By the way, undefeated in the first iteration of this.
Well, kind of.
Well, it definitely was facts.
Whatever.
What was the number for NASCAR? Do you have it?
75,000.
Okay, I can live with that.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow with another edition of the Dam Sports Show on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV. Homer Hour coming up.